Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your first float or book online at urbanfloat.com. And use the code FIRSTTIME to get 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good morning, afternoon. Tom. I never know what time it is. Or I know it has to be afternoon. Yeah. It's actually still morning. Good morning. Mm. So you look terrific, Shay.
Thank you, Tom.
Cody, you look awesome.
Thank you.
Where'd you come from?
Maryland.
Oh, she's like,
Merlin.
My buddy Cody just flew in. I'm like,
well,
where? Like Europe?
I'm from Maryland, but I moved down to Panama City, Florida for work.
Nice. So what do you do?
I build pool enclosures and Florida.
Just a little bit.
I build pool enclosures and Florida rooms.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a big deal
down there.
Because
Hurricane Michael came through there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a pool enclosure and or screen room down there. And it just wiped all that stuff out.
There's a lot of work.
There's a ton of work.
A lot of available. Someone sent me a picture, or I saw a picture, and it was like down in Florida, and all on the screen, the Florida room, was covered with like crabs.
If you're close to the water, they'll do that, yeah. They'll come up.
Tell them about Katrina, though. That's what I'm saying.
Shay, pull your mic up.
Okay.
You were on the last time, and you were like,
I'm so far away.
Yeah, you were so far. Yeah, that's so much better.
All right, good.
But yeah, I'm a plumber by trade, but I haven't really plumbed in a few years. So.
Cody helped me build my, the shop.
Did he?
Yes.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I should have you help me build my shop.
I could help you do anything you need.
I go to Shay's shop and then I come back and feel bad about myself.
You said that last time.
I always do.
You gotta go.
It's a beautiful shop.
You gotta go to the Crumpton Sale, Tom. Has Shay told you about the Crumpton Sale?
No. What's that?
It's Dixon's Furniture Auction. It happens every Wednesday in Crumpton, Maryland, where I'm from.
Okay.
And I would say 90% of the stuff she has in there is from Dixon's.
Well, unfortunately, what I've done is I've minimized my size down in this shop so much that I can't really stick another piece of furniture in here. I'm like, I'm out of space.
Well, that's what's really
it's
funny.
It's more than just furniture. They got so much cool stuff there. I always say they might not have anything you need, but they always have something you want there.
You overspend, that's for sure. But I have to tell you, just like you said, you can't fit anything else in. I always find something, and if it's not for me, it's for my friend Sarah, or it's to belong in the house.
But if you just want to get away for a day, take your wife someplace super cool, go to the Crumpton Sale.
Crumpton, Maryland.
Dixon's Furniture Auction.
But it's the center of the universe. There's other things about your shop that I like too. You know, it has like some kind of darker areas, which are cool. And then you also have like, I think your dad, I don't know if it was your dad who kind of made the exposed brick look on some spots.
He did all of that. Yeah.
That's cool. It's cool stuff.
I just said I just wanted brick and I wanted it to look like plaster. Like the brick fell through and he nailed it in the art of it's art. It was art.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. How is your shop?
Strong. I'm really lucky. It's very strong. I've got a nice crew. Just like you, you said that you had all your chairs filled and stuff like that. And I have a 5-year plan, which is creeping up next May, to not maybe be there 100% of the time, maybe just do 2 days a week, maybe a day a week. Hopefully I'll get there.
Well, I'm sure you will. I mean, honestly, how long have you had it now?
5 years.
Yeah, and I'm going on 10.
Oh, goodness. How are you, really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, I mean, my buddy
are
Carlos.
You tired?
Am I tired of it? Yes. No, honestly? I'm not, you know what? I'm not. It's weird. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. I think I have compassion exhaustion. You know, I'd lose my ability to listen in a conversation. I'm exhausted sometimes, and it's tough.
Do you know what I've been telling my clients, which is, I feel so rude saying it, but I've been doing it over and over in the last months, is like, I'm so sick of talking about myself. Tell me something about you.
Right.
I just don't want to talk about myself anymore.
Exactly. And that's usually the question. How's it going? How are the kids? How's the shop? The biggest question I always get is, any news on a restaurant opening in here?
Sure.
Like, I'm not invited to that meeting, first of all. And second of all, until it's open, I won't talk about it because who knows? I mean, we've had such bad luck with restaurants.
I know. Here. Well, and Tom, so Cody and I, when he surprised me from coming in.
Pull a little bit closer there.
Cody surprised me, I was powering through. I wasn't feeling well. And we just last night went to the Indian restaurant that is right next to Heirloom here in Lewis.
Uh-huh.
And I want it to be great. I'm glad that it's there. Everybody's been talking about it. This, that, and the other. And I walked in, and I have to say, I was like, I don't feel well. I don't want to be here. I want to go.
I'm leaving.
We did.
Well, and it wasn't because of the food. You just didn't feel well.
It's nothing to do with the atmosphere or anything.
I can't imagine not feeling well and eating Indian food.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be.
I was trying.
You got to be high at your game.
She was nauseous anyway, and I was like, I don't think curry and.
My mom kept stopping by, and there is. I just couldn't.
Well, and no offense to any Indian restaurant. I don't like curry. I don't like it.
I'm not sure that I do either.
Not saying that they might have something else that I would eat that would be absolutely delicious, but I'm not eating no curry.
Well, the thought was I was going to eat the naan, and I thought that I was just going to eat bread and maybe find something that I wanted.
Some
and
gravy to
I didn't
slop
even
up
look
in
at
there.
The, yeah, I didn't even look at the menu. I don't think I did I?
I was looking at the menu, and she's like, yeah, time to go.
We're out. Well, and it's also weird is that I've been, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm trying to eat very clean. And I don't mean like, you know, sprouts. I mean, plants and animals. That's it. Yeah. I don't want anything like salt. It's either salt or pepper or garlic, salt, and guacamole. But that's it. I'm not doing a lot of seasonings. I'm very, and it's just because.
Well, you're talking to the right person because I eat very clean.
Yeah, clean
and,
is.
And even down to my grocery shopping, you really got to look into it. Down to olives I just got the other day. You have to make sure that there's no preservatives.
Olives? That's too dirty for me. Not even eating olives.
It's just green beans, salt, maybe citric acid. I don't mind citric acid, but you got to get in there. You got to look at what you're eating and where it comes from. And then I think you do feel better. But when you get on the other side of it, when you accidentally go and eat a peppercini from, I don't know, an Italian restaurant in your salad, you can feel it after it's gone.
Well, I made the mistake the other day of eating mozzarella sticks. Mm. God, they're so good, right? It's just, but afterwards, I mean, it was deep fried chunks of cheese in some red sauce. It was absolutely phenomenal. And afterward, and I wasn't sick, but I'm like, I just felt it.
Yeah.
Like I just, you know.
Well, the red sauce too. I mean, you got to think about what they're putting in the tomatoes. And
sugar.
My biggest pet peeve is sugar in bread, tomatoes, tomato sauce. It's in everything, and I.
Someone told me they dip cigarettes in sugar.
Is that true?
I should try that.
Delicious.
We just had an argument on the way here about his cigarette smoking. Does tobacco have sugar?
I don't know. Listen, I smoked till 1999, and I wasn't going to quit until, you know, I quit. I wanted to meet better chicks. That was why. It wasn't like, oh, I was concerned about my health. I wanted to change. Like, I hung out in bars, and I hung out with chicks that smoked and drank, and I just wanted, I felt like, I wanted to, and now my, you know, my wife smokes, but.
He's like, so you're saying you have a chance.
I mean, I've been smoking since I was 13. I quit a couple times. It's one of my very few vices. I hate it. I'm sure.
You love it.
I love and hate it.
Yeah, you equally. Love it. You hate the fact that society wants you to quit.
Good point. Never thought of it that way.
I mean, that's really what it is. I always
can
say
tell you as a female, ew, no, quit.
Yeah, it's gross. It's a gross habit.
Yeah. But it's not, listen, it's just because society, you know, 30 years ago, everyone smoked. We were all amazing. They used to say, hey, when you're pregnant, hey, go home and have a cigarette. Just take the stress off, you know, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, now it's bad for you. Now we're all bad. I mean, enjoy yourself.
I was in Charleston, South Carolina 2 weekends ago. And I went for food because the part of Florida I live in is a shithole, crap hole, sorry.
It's all right.
And there's no, like, because I love food and good food. Anyway, but Charleston's a hip happening city, and I'm walking down the street, and there's all these beautiful people. And here my scruffy bum is walking down the street, dragging on a Newport. People are looking at me like I just got out of an insane asylum. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, they're all sucking on their e-cigs.
Right.
You know,
have you tried? Have you thought about that?
I tried the Juul for a little while, but it made my. I know this sounds crazy because I smoke Newports, but it made my chest so tight and congested that I couldn't breathe. I could breathe less than what I can breathe smoking a regular cigarette, and I was on it for like a month.
Yeah,
and just didn't agree with me.
I see. There's a lot of versions of those e-cigarettes. There's a guy next door. He uses one, and he used it to quit smoking. And he's outside quite a bit using it, but he'll just take a couple. The thing I think that are nice about those is you can just take a couple of puffs. You're not having to finish the whole cigarette.
Yeah,
the cigarette's kind of like.
Very rarely do I finish my cigarette. I'll smoke maybe halfway through it, and I throw it out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I quit because I had to want it. And then I'm very glad I did.
Why did you have to want it?
Because I wouldn't have quit it if I didn't really want it.
Oh.
You know, if everyone's telling me you should quit, I'd be like...
Doesn't that bother you?
It doesn't. It's funny. It is very weird. It does not bother me.
I dated a guy that smoked cigarettes, Albert, my late boyfriend, a few years back. He smoked cigarettes, and I don't know why it didn't bother me smelling it on him for whatever reason.
It doesn't...
But it bothers me, like the scent that you had today.
Well, because I think that, first of all, you know, my wife doesn't smoke that many. She's very aware that I would prefer that she didn't. But she also washes her hands. She wears, like, it's so funny, she puts on a hoodie, you know, like this. She goes in, like, a suit. She gets in this, like...
Her smoking jacket.
Smoking suit. All you see is, like, her eyes.
Like, she needs a robe.
Well, she doesn't want to get it in her hair. She doesn't want... She hates it, too. But there was a time when I could not stand it, but it doesn't really bother me. I just had to lighten up a bit. Whatever.
Yeah, I felt the same.
I mean, I dip sometimes. I chew tobacco sometimes. Yeah, so, you know, I'm no angel. Fucking jaw's going
to
fall off.
Everybody's vice. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier, too, about how it's not going to kill us. Like, I love the Millsboro man.
Marlboro man. I'm like, is this a new boyfriend? The Millsboro man. Hey,
what's his address?
The Marlboro man.
So Millsboro, I got
that. And riding on a horse and chewing tobacco and being a man and being there's something to that. There's an element to somebody being badass, just the same way as like Cleopatra or Jackie Onassis.
Yeah,
just smoking while pregnant and drinking and doing whatever the hell you want. There's something to that.
Well, there's
do what you want.
The biggest hypocrisy I see is alcohol, and I don't drink that.
Amen.
But this, you know, society's accepted it because we like doing it, and I think didn't we talk about this on the phone? How it's like become so fun for like moms to be, oh, all I need is my wine, or you know, whatever it is they do
by noon.
Yeah, and it's more alcohol wrecks more families, kills more people. But there's money to be made at it, and so it's a huge hypocrisy, and it's annoying.
And then why is it accepted?
Right, because we
weed, which is what we could talk about, the CBD and everything like that. Everybody criticized and
and don't you
the
feel
CBD
like
CBD oil, for instance, took a long time. I know THC in it.
So do you know the story behind marijuana? I mean, the reason marijuana became illegal was because the Hearst guy that owned the paper companies and the newspaper, he made it illegal so that it wouldn't affect his paper business because hemp was going to be the new paper.
Yep.
And so they created a word called marijuana, which means crazy Mexican on drugs. You know, marijuana doesn't even mean marijuana.
No, I didn't know that.
Cannabis is the word for marijuana. Marijuana means crazy Mexican on drugs. And they started saying that, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, that or whatever years it was, you know, that marijuana, these crazy Mexicans were raping white women. And that's how it became illegal. Yep. And DuPont was behind it, too, because hemp was part of nylon. Yep. And they didn't want anybody cutting into their nylon business, so they made it illegal. So there's it's a racket. Is what it is.
Well,
this is right up his alley because we were just talking about the what is it called, the Panacho?
It's getting turned on its heel now because, I mean, it's getting legalized beyond medicinal use. It's getting recreational legalized.
Yeah, but you know, it's
a huge money maker. Like the government would be ridiculous not to get in on it. And it's just like the Volstead Act. It's the Volstead Act all over again. Is all it is. And now it's the government's saying, hey. Let us be the thugs to handle it, and let us make the money off. I mean, Denver, Colorado has a surplus of like $80 billion every year from their recreational marijuana business. It's ridiculous not to incorporate it into society.
I agree. I mean, we watch our favorite shows, Live PD, and it's always busting people that are drunk and milking them for money with marijuana tickets. Because, you know, now they don't want it to be illegal. They're like, listen, it's just you got a little pot, bro.
It's a fine. It's no big offense. Deal.
It's a misdemeanor ticket. It's $600. The ticket is.
Yeah, it's a finable offense. And, you know, I know I'm regurgitating a lot of stuff, but the jails and prisons are overflowing with good people that are in there that got caught with weed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no business being in a facility like that. If anything, it makes them worse because they come out of a normal life and they go into a gladiator academy or a straight-up drug school, and then they come out criminals.
Yep.
Went well, in good people.
It was just
and come
what we were talking
criminals.
About this morning.
Just
Katie,
to make when, money.
Just yeah. to make money.
Exactly.
Yep.
Just it was to what keep we were talking filled. About yep. this morning, how you were talking about the state regulating the amount that you can have versus
I mean it's to
do you have your medical card?
I do not.
Oh, I do.
I do not.
You do have one?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Absolutely.
I probably
it's medicine.
Could easily, yeah.
Well,
it is
I can't
yeah.
get it cuz I'm telling them I'm a convicted felon for marijuana.
Oh.
For weed. So I can't I'm not eligible to get it.
That's, so that also goes into...
I grew every year in my garden, I grew between 4 to 8 plants in my garden every year. I did it for 10 years standing. Nobody knew. It was strictly personal. I would dole some out here and there. I got really good at it. And one of my best friends at the time, he got involved in some stuff and he ratted me out.
Mm.
And the cops came to my house. You would have thought I was... Frickin' Pablo Escobar.
Full game. Full SWAT team.
It was full on. In small town Crumpton. It was full on. There were 17 cop cars in my driveway and alongside the road for 4 pot plants.
Yeah, well, that's weird because it's a love-hate with cops because you got to love them. You know, they're dealing with people.
No, I do.
I have all the utmost respect, but they're, you know, when you watch them, sometimes you're like, is this about another ticket? Getting money.
I mean, and mostly, I mean, I can't even. I can't,
it absolutely is. I can tell you about.
It definitely
I was coming
is.
Right through Milton right here on 16, right next to us. And I was in college. I was leaving DC. I had my laundry basket in my back seat. I had filing boxes because back then we filed all of our paperwork and did everything. And I was leaving school. And I stopped at my friend's house to watch Sex and the City was popular then, and she yep. had HBO. I stopped to watch Sex and the City and then left. And I was just driving, no big deal, in a Jeep. Got pulled over by a cop. He pulls me over. The first thing he says to me, are you drinking? And I was like, no. And then he's like, please get out of the car. Or he asked for my insurance. And I was like, it's actually in my file box that's in the back seat. I was like, all right, I will go. You just have to let me out of the car so I can get my, I just had gotten it, my insurance label, and 3 more cops pulled up all at the same time. Hmm. And here is my insurance. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't doing anything. And, of course, they let me go, but I was 19, 20, 21, I don't know. And then they were like, okay, you can go. But they just piled up and bombarded me. And I was a single girl
at the same time. My cousin is a state trooper. And if there's any cops listening, no disrespect. I appreciate what you guys do every mm-hmm. day. You know, you put your life on the lines. I get it. I understand. My cousin still is a Maryland state trooper. And a lot of times when stuff like that happens, as you described, they use it as a training exercise, unbeknownst to the person it's happening to.
We got a hot one on Route 1. Everyone meet us over there. Training hats
and
on.
Especially if you're single and a good-looking girl, they're definitely going to call their buddies in. Like, it's part of it.
Well, part of the thing, because I got pulled over by a Milton cop not that long ago, and he first of all, he pulled me over from my tent, and then he said that I was on my phone, and my seatbelt wasn't on, and all of those were not true, and he goes, I saw you put it up to your head. I go, no, you didn't, and he goes, and then I had my tent waiver, so really he had nothing, and so he's, all right, well, have a good day. Like, so you didn't see me put the phone in my head, right? Because it was right here on my phone holder.
Yeah, well, on the opposite side, too, my, I won't say his name, obviously, but a client at our shop who is a wonderful cop, but he's known for pulling people over mm-hmm. in Lewis and being a little aggressive.
Oh, is this the guy with the dog?
And he...
Oh.
and
funny
he,
story.
Yeah, I was on my phone because my mom can't hear me when I talk on speaker.
Right.
And I didn't have my AirPods at the time.
Mm.
And I was talking on my phone, driving through Lewis, and pulled me over, and he saw that it was me. I have a car from 2007. I don't seem like I'm pretentious or anything like right. that. That, whatever. He pulls me over, and I was like, "Sorry, was I speeding?" And then I noticed that it was him, and he's younger than me. And I called him by his first name, which I felt really guilty about because obviously I should have presented myself as, like, sorry, officer.
Right.
Was I speeding? Called him by his first name. I was like, oh, hey. It was just a natural response.
Is that his first name? Oh, hey?
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Hey, no, that's a different guy.
Hey. And he pointed at me, which is also offensive, depending on, like, where do you get the authority? He pointed at me, and he's like, get off your phone. And I was like, yes, sir. Just totally went with
the
it.
The client was gone.
Yeah, and he walked away. He left me. He realized who I was, and you know, because we had relation. But I left feeling guilty that I didn't address him with authority, with the authority that he deserves, you know, as any officer should. But also that I was offended that he pointed at me.
You got scolded.
I did. Yeah. And I'm a grown adult, Tom.
Well, I will say, and I don't know how we got on a cop talk, but I did get pulled over for being on my phone. And the cop, it was a state police, he pulled me over and he walks up and he goes, and I go, I was on my phone. And he goes, yes, you were. And I said, I'm sorry. And he goes, and I was really cool. We had a great back and forth. You know, I had everything you needed. And he came back and he goes, I'm going to go ahead and give you your ticket for your... And he, like, starts flicking my seatbelt thing for your seatbelt. And I go...
Really?
I go, got it. He goes, all right, have a good day. Here's your seatbelt ticket. So he gave me a break. He gave me a ticket for not having a seatbelt.
Why were you wearing your seatbelt?
What?
Why weren't you wearing your
seatbelt? I was. Don't you get it? He's like...
Oh, no, I missed
it. Seatbelt. You know, he gave me the
wink.
Oh,
gotcha.
And the seatbelts, I think, is... I think it's probably, like, an $80 ticket or something like that, where... The cell phone, talking to your cell phone is like $200, $225.
Really? Now it is?
First one's $2, second one's $4, third one's $6, fourth one's $800.
Wow.
Lord.
I think it goes up in $200 increments.
I get it. I mean, I'm the first one to talk about, you know, people telling me what I can and can't do, but I definitely get the whole cell phone thing because I have seen people just...
Well, there was an accident. Nobody knows. I don't know anybody's confirmed it, but you know, a girl plowed into stopped traffic just north of the Indian River Inlet and killed her. She got killed.
That was she was projected. Didn't even 23 years old.
Didn't even stop. Was she projected out of the car?
Mm-hmm. But I was 23 and I got hit in front of. I just paid my car payment and came out, and I just dropped off my goddaughter. Thank God.
Yeah.
And a young teenager hit me dead fast, just 50, I think the cops did 55, I think it was 55 miles per hour, plowed me, and my back seat came up over my head, I lost my sneakers, and I still...
Knocked you out of your shoes.
Still haven't found them.
They're gone. They're in the flux vortex somewhere.
So I wanted, you know, you've been on before, Shay. You brought your buddy Cody, flew in from Maryland.
it was a short flight.
He flew in. Oh, my buddy Cody's in town.
He flew in from Chicago. Aboard his arms are tired.
I took off and landed immediately.
Yes. But, you know, you were on once before, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, you have a group of people in your life, and then you have, you know, those solid rock people. And I always, you know, I cannot see you for 5 years, and then as soon as I see you, it's like we never left. And I know that if I ever have an issue, I can always call on you, and you'll always be there for me. So
absolutely,
yeah. I always appreciate that, you and your mom. And I love, one of the best things I love about our relationship is that you and I both own hair salons, and there's no, it's cooperation over competition. And I think that not enough people do that. And I think it's important, and especially when the kind of business we're in and the size of our business. You know, we're not locking people in and under contracts. We're not, you know, running this huge, giant group of men and women. You know, we have our small group, and, you know, it's tough out there, and I appreciate that you and I always... There's other people that are like that, kind of. I thought they were. I'm not sure that they're all like that, but I know you and I have always been like that, so... And we talked, you know, I'm looking for people to do podcasts. We had talked about this. I thought it'd be fun to chat about it, you know, whether you decide to do it or not. But I do think you'd be a great person for a podcast.
I'd love to.
Because you've got great fashion. I mean, look at you right now. I don't know what's going on with that top, but it's like the sun. I can only look seconds, and then I have to turn away because it's very...
I'm winning today?
Yeah, winning. Right, Cody?
I got a pretty good view.
Hey, old Cody. Oh,
my God. Is there something wrong with my
little side boob?
Yeah, no, but there's some... Yeah, and it's like...
Side boob.
So, but you know, you got your finger on the pulse of fashion. You know what's going on. You got that side bang coming across. Great lipstick. I mean, you...
Thank you, Tom.
Have a lot going on. And I think that you would be a fun person to tune into on a podcast.
Well, it'd be interesting to do a podcast just
if you could just
like
pull that microphone to your mouth. I would. Okay. I would have better. Do you hate the microphone?
I don't know.
It's right
there.
I think
it's okay. This good.
Oh. Then you pull it farther, then you back out.
Okay.
Well, we just want to hear. I just want to make sure we can hear you.
Well, not a lot of people can hear me. That's one of the things. Two things I want to talk about. One, fashion. I'll get back to that, but I want to go back to you. We were talking about how we've worked in the hair industry and being small and being not locked into anything and owning our own business. I was talking to our friend Karen.
Yep.
Who
K-Dog.
Yes. Who has been doing...
The shock.
Yes. Who's doing hair with me in weddings, and she's so locked in to her contract. And I feel so bad for her. And yeah. I remember being in that space and not wanting... to be there anymore, but just locked in.
Remember, like, you walk down the hall, back out, up around the front.
How many steps did we take?
How many times did I loop that place?
Ugh. Ugh. Every day, especially where my station was.
Back in the break room.
Where was yours? You were Diane.
I was next to her.
You were next to Karen.
Yeah. It was me, her, you.
Right. And, I mean, just that mundane... daily routine and having to answer to somebody.
And it's a passive aggressive atmosphere.
And they don't even know, like, they don't even know what goes on in a minute.
Nope.
Not 1 minute.
Oh, you're not going to. I would have given you that person, but you left early. You know, it's like.
So I had somebody who got me in trouble that I had a pink slip with come into my shop who's frequents my shop.
What's a pink slip?
Mm.
Is that.
I got a pink slip. It was like
a warning?
Like you're in detention.
What, from when you were over there?
Yeah.
Oh.
That time.
Yeah, that's
naughty.
Why you left.
I was naughty.
You were naughty.
I had no idea that he had his two daughters in the nail room, and he was there waiting for me, and I was late taking his appointment because I had no idea that he was there.
Right.
So I was in the back break room, and sure enough.
Was it the doctor?
No.
Oh.
What doctor?
I thought you were talking about Dr. Kelly.
Oh, well, he was in control.
Because he owned it then, right?
At the time, yes.
Okay.
And I had no idea this client was there. I was just waiting. I thought it was a no-show. It didn't show up on the computer screen. I was just waiting and doing whatever. I thought I just had a no-show. And then another coworker of mine came in, and they were like, this person's been waiting for 45 minutes, and I couldn't do them. I physically couldn't do them anymore because my next client had showed up.
Right.
And I was doing that, and they wrote me up with a pink slip for that.
Oh.
Which I think was the beginning of my...
exit.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody pink slips me.
And I was like, well, who failed? Did the front desk fail, not letting me know that they're not checked in because you didn't check it in? Did the person fail by not showing their face and letting me know that they were there? I was just tucked in waiting. It was innocent.
I remember when I got pulled into the office by Drexel, when Drexel still owned it. I don't think he would care if I shared it, but this story. But, you know, what was the dress fashion? Or how did we have to dress there?
All black.
All black.
It's, Karen does still, too.
So, oh, she does?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I felt bad for her when I...
And I remember, I'm like... So that means like a black shirt and blue jeans, right?
Right.
No, that's not what
no jeans.
No jeans. So I'd come in a black shirt, half black, half gray, you know, black plaid. I just could not follow the stupid rule. And Drexel pulls me into the office. He's like, why don't you just quit? He goes, you don't want to be here. You don't like how we dress. You don't like any. I go, if you want to fire me, you can, but I'm not quitting. And, you know, and I would eventually leave, but I didn't get a pink slip, but I definitely got talked to because I couldn't seem to follow the dress code.
Which was ridiculous because it comes and goes and whatever, what's the point of it? But I have to tell you, I think we talked about that on our last podcast about Drexel and the all black and that whole demeanor.
Yeah.
Who cares? And one of the things that we talked about too, it was come in. Feel pretty. Feel good. Feel good about yourself. Come in with a strong vibe. We're hairstylists. We have fashion. There's something about us. Just like your tattoos, both of you boys, Cody.
My tattoos if are you can... horrible. His are cool. Mine are not.
Cody.
Oh,
positive.
Cody.
Stay positive, bro. Stay strong, bro.
But my younger brother, speaking of tattoos too, just to switch topics, my younger brother, when he was in Vietnam, got... drunk. And
your brother, your younger brother was in Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
Not for the war.
Oh, I was dad was in Vietnam.
No, he...
Wow. Was he born in Vietnam?
Benjamin Button, he ages backwards.
Just reversed it. It's like Missy Elliott, just flipped it.
Remember back in Nam? I was in Nam.
32.
You're 17. Did he get some Vietnam tattoo?
Yes, and my whole family's not tattooed, which I don't know why it means something to us, but it does mean something to us.
To not be tattooed?
Yeah. My whole family wasn't. And there was a disappointment, you know, that he got a tattoo, but it's scripture and a lion, but it was made out of bamboo. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Made out of bamboo where they pound the bamboo in ink and
they tap it.
Yeah.
That's where the word tattoo comes from.
So they do like it? That's like a Polynesian kind of style
South
tattoo.
Pacific.
Yeah, South Pacific.
Tattoo, and they tap the bamboo.
Oh, I see.
With a paddle. Japanese do it too.
That shit hurts.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, it sounds awful to me. I'm, you know, tattoos. I didn't have tattoos for a long time, and then I just decided I was going to get some.
I love them.
Yeah,
I like them on men. I don't love them on women.
I got this one. It looked really cool on paper, and now it. To me, it's a little creepy.
Didn't translate well.
Well,
it's, you know, it's somebody stabbing me in the back, and then it's some girl's eyes that are crying, and there's blood on the knife and blood in her eyes. And I thought it looked cool. I mean, I got it, but then when it's on my arm, I felt like, you know, people are like, oh, what the fuck's that knife? Like I'm psycho or something.
Well, I drew you a tattoo. I've drawn three tattoos in my life for people, and yours
was
my favorite.
Shai.
Yeah, I like that.
Except that it faded. It was a beautiful watercolor.
Pink
peonies.
You just need to go get it touched up.
And yeah, probably my favorite.
Tough Luck, I think.
The other one was
that's
Albert.
From
with
Tough Luck when they first opened.
I heard they're pretty good. I was going to this guy Matt Perez, and I like him. He's I don't know. Sometimes he's up and down. You know, it's location, moving. You know,
yeah.
problems here, problems there. He was supposed to come on the podcast and didn't show. And I was like, you know what?
Like me last week.
Yeah, but we got history.
August 12th.
Yeah. That was,
August 12th at 12th.
You're like, isn't it on the 12th? I go, it is the 12th. Oh.
Oh.
And then we proceeded to talk on the phone for an hour.
Like, I know, we did like our a podcast.
Like, damn, this is a podcast right here.
It was a good one, too.
Well, so you think, I mean, what do you think? Actually, I want to, before we go to you doing podcasts, I wanted to ask you, what do you charge for a haircut?
55.
See, I charge 50 bucks.
Okay.
And I had a lady come in here the other day, and she's like, you must be really good. I go, I don't know. I do a haircut, you know, 50 bucks. She goes, oh, that's a much more than I pay at the other place I was going to. And I go, well, where were you going? I can't remember the name. I go, well, who's the lady? I forget her. And I go, why don't you go? Because she was charging 35. And I go, why don't you go back? And she goes, because she keeps messing up my hair. And I go, well? And I go, but listen, honestly, 50 bucks, you know, we have location. We have Wi-Fi. We have, you know, electricity. We have, you know, we provide a great place to work. We have all this stuff. I mean, really, in the end, the haircut's like $5.
And they're getting a shampoo. I have to tell you, though, I don't know why you feel like I am confident. My haircuts are solid.
My haircuts are solid, too. But
right.
I,
so I think it's cheap. I lost pricing coming from D.C. I went from 65 to 55, and that was how many years ago?
Right.
10 years ago? We haven't raised our prices. We haven't given ourselves a raise.
Well, I was 45 for but 9 years.
People, yeah.
I just raised them $5.
Are charging 95 for a haircut, and we have solid haircuts.
Exactly.
It's a solid haircut. You get a good hair. I mean, I just cut yours yesterday. Or
looks solid, bro.
It's a different look.
Is that 55? Are you charge 55 for a mentor?
That was change my light bulbs. That's a change my light bulbs.
Hours and hours of work I put in there.
So listen, let's talk about fashion.
Okay.
I mean, is this just something you're born with? I mean, because you look fashionable. You've always have, you know, long black pants, cool tops. You know, you look great.
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about this morning. Was it my dress?
I've told her for years she needs to design or make her own clothing line.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to look at.
That's a tough mountain to climb.
But I didn't make it. No, I just picked it out.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks like now. I mean, if someone said what's kind of in fashion right now, I'd say this kind of this halter top tie on the shoulder kind of thing. That looks like.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a tie on back, different than the way the dress was designed. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
How's it supposed to be?
Forward, right here.
It's supposed to be tied here?
Yeah.
Okay, see, now that's fashion.
Right.
Look at
but
you.
But I mean, look at me. Look at you.
Well, I mean, you know, professionally.
You know, that's what one of the things that actually it was you. I think it was you that said, he was like, Shay's every day is a fashion show.
Yep.
Yeah. And so fast forward into that. I mean, I don't think about it. I'm lucky enough that I do like to buy fashion. I love clothing.
Now, do you figure out how
to? I just walk in my closet and I just decide.
Do you figure out how to do it in an affordable way, though? I mean, or do you like?
I don't think about it. Really.
You just spend.
I just go.
Just go with it.
Yeah, but my new shoes. Wait till you see them. They will be featuring here this fall.
Oh, you just ordered them.
About them. Mm-hmm.
Nice. I can't wait to see them. Well, that's the I bet. But people like, I'm sure women that come see you as clients are always probably like, oh my god, I love how you do that, or I love. Like, people say, well, what's the new fashion in hair? Do you know the new fashion in hair? What is it?
If we can get over this balayage or foilage.
I know,
just,
right?
If we cannot get over it.
The balayage or the what's the other one? The blonde ends and the dark top.
Ombre.
I say that looks like, to me, it looks like someone couldn't afford their highlights.
Ew. And nobody comes out the right way. Like, you have to be a blonde.
I don't do it.
It's just not good. Unless you are the right candidate for just like hair. I mean, that's what it is. To me, I've always liked rich colors in the summer and lighter colors in the winter. But
now, wouldn't we say that's almost the opposite?
Yeah, it is the opposite. Everybody thinks otherwise. I do like the idea of it looks like your hair is all tied up all summer long and you get highlights.
Mm-hmm.
That way, that's foilage to me.
Yeah.
But they want one session, white blonde on their ends, medium length, dark, and I'm definitely over the charcoal gray hair.
Yeah.
I'm just definitely over that.
Yeah, that's a weird, that was kind of strange.
It's still existing for me.
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe that's why you're 55 and I'm 50, because I'm just not doing that stuff. I'm like, you know, maintenance kind of color. I'm always afraid to do something really risky. I won't even do, you know, balayage. I used to do balayage. In fact, I went to learn it, how to do balayage in New York, but it's so expensive. I mean, it's a lot of work, and nobody wanted to pay the price.
Yeah. Nobody wants to pay the price. That's a big thing.
Nobody wants to pay the price of balayage.
And I really, to be honest with you, I'm really into men's barbering. I think that is such an art that I'm not familiar. I try and try, and I get to know it. And you've been a candidate, Cody, of being a trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a beautiful art. The clippers, my new clippers, you know, the Ferrari.
Yep, the red ones, cordless.
Yeah. Well, I got rose gold.
Nice.
Fashionable, see.
I'm in my third pair of those.
And just having the right tool. I'm more into looking into, like, I love the good tools. I love a good scissor. I love a good haircut. And I love good barbering, yeah. Like watching.
Your work is only good as your tools anyway.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
The tool is the job.
I've always been that way. I mean, I have...
I mean, that applies across the board.
I have these cordless. I have these cordless trimmers that are, but they have that Ferrari motor in them.
Mm-hmm.
I love those things.
I have the same ones. Yeah.
The problem was the guards wear out. My guards all fall. I have to hold my guards on because they all have just worn off.
I haven't experienced that, but replacing everything constantly, and Sterling's a strong company. I think that doesn't get enough credit. They made a beautiful trimmer that has gotten the closest shave that I've ever gotten, aside from a straight razor, and that goes into finding a good razor and finding a good scissor and finding good Japanese, most of the time they're Japanese, straight blade. I mean, that is...
I did have a guy come in here and wanted to sell me some $500 shears. And I was like, I know you probably spend $500 on them. I don't. I spend $120 on shears.
Okay.
I got a question for you guys. So, in your industry, it's a trade,
yep.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been a tradesman all my life, and always in my trade, I'm always looking for a way to either improve on a tool or make a better tool or a better material to suit the tool you have. Do you guys ever have that train of thought with the things that you use? Are you always looking for...
Well, I think that's what Tom was just saying. He doesn't invest.
I invest by buying more and more. I have to buy them over, you know, because the quality, the more you spend on a shear, you know, the more the times you can keep them sharpened, you know, they don't start to fall apart. And that's I can get mine sharpened twice and then they're done. And so I have to replace them. So in the end, I don't know, maybe I spend more, but...
So to answer your question, yes, because I've had my Hikaris, which is a tool blade, which I'm sure you can be related to, you know, the company.
It's a shear.
Yeah, it's a shear. But I send them away. They have people who are insured to replace them, and they come back.
So, for example, so you use
and
a pair
you cut of your knuckles.
And then I slice myself, and all these scars are here, still
exactly.
here. Yeah.
So, for example, say you've been using a set of shears or whatever for many years, and you've always used them. And you say, man, they would be so much better if they just had, if the handle was shaped this way, or if they just had this feature.
Oh, no, I don't get that way.
I don't.
No.
I don't. Yeah, no. You know what I don't like is the swivel, but that's the way I flip my shears.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Yeah. I don't. Not the swivel.
I think that, you know, I guess if I was going to make an improvement, I wish they could kind of come out with a cordless blow dryer. That would be
hey,
cool.
Shit,
and my mom
idea.
Just got the Dyson blow dryer.
Yeah, see, is that thing any good?
And so does one of my other coworkers. She's using it. I don't. Careful, like I love Dyson. I think it was brilliant, but
I have a Dyson vacuum. But I like the twin turbo dryers. I like that power. I mean, I want power being blown through. I want moisture vapor coming out and splashing the room. That's how I'm
bioionic is what I like.
Yeah, I mean, those, remember the chi dryers? Those are, that's
No, that's like an old man blowing on you.
Well, but you know, those are the only dryer.
Just terrible.
Oh my. But that's the only dryer I ever saw that melted hair.
Because it was way too hot.
It was way hot.
Cheese, that's cheese brand.
But, I mean, I can take a blow dryer usually and stick it on hair. And people say, oh, blow dryers burn hair. I've never had a blow dryer that melts or burns hair. Now, if hair gets sucked into the back of it, that will burn when it gets on the hot elements inside. But I've never had a dryer that melts hair like a chi. Cheese will burn your hair.
And I watch, and my mother is a culprit of it. Watch them. She shapes, right, without any nozzle on it. So she's going straight in with the foiling. I'm like, it killed me.
Can't watch.
But now she's on Dyson, so that's good.
So does it move a lot of air through it?
No, Tom, I don't think it. I'm not. I mean, it's high pressure air, yes. No different than any other blow dryer.
It's just $400.
My blow dryer is $300. It was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, I looked at the Dyson. I was like, yeah.
Is the Dyson cordless?
No.
No, that's what we want. I
mean, you're cordless.
You're on to something with that.
Well, the problem is you'd have to have such a huge battery pack. It's like a nail gun.
No way. No way. No way, man.
He flew in and it's serious.
My toolkit is a Bosch toolkit, and it's super light. My drill is super lightweight. It's like holding this hat in your hand.
Mm.
And it's 21 volt lithium ion battery, which is about the size of this remote. And I can drill a box of 3-inch screws. I can drill with it all day long without recharging it.
Well,
batteries have come such a long way.
There's something that's stopping it from happening because maybe whether it's the heating element, maybe it's the, well, listen.
Maybe nobody's thought of it.
I think I'm pretty awesome, but I think other people.
You never know.
I think we all have thought of it for so many years.
I mean,
yeah.
To me, it seems like a flash of genius. There, it could be something that I think could be easily done in every salon in the country.
Dude, I'll give you a hair dryer. You can take it with you. You take it down into your laboratory and pull out something and see what we got.
But that's the example I was trying to make. That's the example I was trying to make, as opposed to using the tool. Having somebody use the tool that you've then made or then improved on, so you no longer have to use the tool. You sit back and collect the benefits of.
You mean the money?
The tool, yeah.
Well, that sounds. I'm on board. I'll buy your first one.
I know. Also known as benefits. We've been waiting for a cordless blow dryer for how long?
Forever.
I
think you were about to say. Do you remember when they used to have the cords that came?
From the ceiling.
I want that. I would like to have that. Here.
I told you that years ago.
I'd like to have those reels and just.
I told her that years ago. The pull back and the retractable.
Yep. Well, when I worked at Bad Hair Day, there used to be these legs on the chairs, and my cord always would get caught on the leg, and I'd be like, dude. And I was like, why don't we have these up in the ceiling? I said, if I ever open a salon, I'll do that. And I never did. But, yeah, that would be cool, too.
What are the things, because it's funny that you say that, because I always get caught up. What are the things that would make your day easier, aside from a cord?
You know what? Actually, I'm pretty good. I really don't have any. I mean, my scheduling is all done online. I think I'm debating on getting rid of the salon phone. Mm-hmm. Because it just seems like it's always sales calls. And then these weird hang-ups, like no one's even there. And I'm like, what is that?
Well, I got rid of my salon cell phone, but I put in a landline.
I'm thinking about getting rid of a landline. You don't get a lot of sales calls on it? Google?
On my landline? Not at all. No.
Maybe I just need... I can't get a new number. I don't know what to do. But I think if I was going to do something, maybe a phone service where it has to... When you call, you say... Thank you for calling the Thomas David Salon. If you would like to talk to an operator, press 1. If you would like to cancel an appointment, press 1.
You would like, I don't know if you've ever called this shop before, but my message is, I'll try to mock it. It's, thank you for calling Lady Main Hair Salon. All of our stylists are behind the chair right now. So if you leave a message, one of us will get back to you. Click. It's off.
And that's it. Well, but then, but I almost want to have like a, you know, a first, like they have to go through something just to get to that message, like just to cut out any robocalls. Something yeah, just, there. You know, something yeah. that filtered out some of that stuff.
If you're getting that much, but I think it's because you're on a
but
cell service.
Do you have online booking?
No, I don't do it. I 100% believe in the good old
paper book.
Paper book. You can erase where you need to erase. You can add where you want to add. You see
the,
what you're...
It?
I write
the
my
world's first cordless first salon cordless quality hairdryer.
Oh, really? Did you find one?
On Kickstarter.
Really?
I like it.
Ground floor Let's or see. Something, people. Ground floor.
Go on eBay. Find how much that is. Let's order one.
Let's get it.
Looks kind of cool.
Let's split it and we'll see.
Split it and you take it.
I didn't get it.
So it's not even for sale yet. That's why it's on Kickstarter. So this guy's trying to. I'm telling you, you're on something, man.
Well, at least somebody's starting to do it.
A lot of salons, a lot of hairstyles.
Bro, I've been chasing too many dreams. I don't want to be on anything right now.
Actually, if there's anybody who would chase that dream, I would say it would be you.
Yeah,
I'm really good at that.
I've done everything. I'm exhausted. But what I was going to say about the online booking, which I love, which I use Vigaro, and it allows us to do a lot of different stuff, keeping notes, sends out reminders. There's forms now that you can do, that you can send out, like if a client wants to fill out a form to give you some ideas. It's just, it is a great service. And the online booking, I can set the booking up to, like nobody can book within 24 hours prior to, or cancel. You can't cancel within 24 hours. You have to call. So there's ways you can set it up that it is nice. You can also, they give you a free website. You can also reach out to all your clients. You know, usually we get a cell phone number or an email. So then I can send out mass emails to all these people too. So it's a great service. In fact, I'm running the Rehoboth Social podcast on another Vigaro system. I'm running this podcast channel on a hair salon online booking channel.
Right, yeah.
The lady goes, I never had anybody try to do that. And I go, well, I'm going to do it. So now people can go on Vigaro, my podcast site, and book online.
You've always been an entrepreneur that way, and a go-getter or something forward-thinking.
Forward-thinking, yep.
I will tell you, though, I like being simple. I just like it simple, and that's what it is. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is my 5-year plan of, you know, I don't know that I want to have to progress all the time.
Well, and I started doing Vigaro. I've been into it for years now, so I get it. I hear you. I
do like that program.
And it's only $35 a month.
Do you charge for non-cancellations?
No.
Okay, just check in.
Do you?
Said no.
No,
of course not. They're my clients. You know,
yeah,
they're
happens.
My people. Yeah, it's hair.
Appointment.
And I can't even go to the dentist.
So. And if someone charged me for missing an appointment, I wouldn't go back.
Yeah.
I would be like that guy. I would have a tantrum.
Yeah. I would be the same person. Like, okay, sorry. Like, it just didn't work out that day for me. I didn't mean any. No harm, no foul. Just.
I think we should be charged. They should give us money when they are running 45 to an hour late.
Yeah, right. Or when you squeeze them in.
No, I mean like when you go to an appointment, like a doctor's appointment, you wait an hour.
Oh, right.
They should pay you. That should be an offense.
Time is money.
Misdemeanor. That should be a misdemeanor, right, Cody? CBD oil misdemeanor. So, yeah, I think you would be terrific at doing podcasting. I think you do have a lot of fun stuff going on. Multifaceted. You like that word? Faceted.
I do. I feel like I need sprinkle fingers for that. Well, we'll see.
Would you want to try it?
Dance. Yeah, let's do it.
You mean bring in a friend? Chat?
I did.
Right. You know. But, I mean, you sit here. Your
okay.
friend sits there.
All right.
And you get to do this. Yeah, and so Brian's doing one on Sunday. What day would you be free to do a podcast? Mondays?
Sunday, Mondays, yeah. Sunday, Monday, and occasionally Thursdays.
Well, so we'd have to find, so Monday would probably be your day.
Monday, yeah.
Problem is I record on Mondays. Maybe Monday evenings.
What did you talk about, Fair Shay?
There we go.
I know. What would I talk about? How close are we to having to end?
We got time. We're doing a podcast at 1:30.
Okay.
Or 1:20. So you got
20
minutes.
Would have to marinate on what I would want to talk about.
Food, fashion, fringe.
all those three. I could talk about all those three things. Yeah. I think that mostly...
What do your clients usually talk to you about? So you made the statement, you don't want to talk about you anymore. So what Carlos tells me is that 75% of the content of my podcast is about me. I'm like, well,
oh, really?
Yeah, because basically I just invite people to come listen to me talk about myself, and then I get a few minutes of their input, and then it's done.
I want to talk about myself while I talk about myself.
But, you know, that might be because you're interesting. You know,
I've got a lot of characters in my world. I think I could, for instance, Cody showing up on a certain day or talking
about
my friend.
I'm very interesting.
Cody's his biggest fan.
He's a very big fan.
I love myself.
Why I love
I could tell. Now you're talking into the microphone. Now you're here.
I don't know. I could talk about anything.
I think it would take some planning. You know, like you have to think, you know, maybe you could get, you know, Karen. Let's say maybe you wanted Karen. You guys could just BS about hair all day. Different fun things about hair. But you would say, okay, I got Karen on, so I'm going to think about some of these things that would kind of go with Karen and I.
I kind of think that I could talk about just how my day went, you know.
See, I think anybody that's a hairdresser could do a podcast because we basically do a podcast on half hour, 45, an hour and a half increments already.
Exactly.
You know.
That's just how my day went. Like routine. The funny thing about OCD or whatever comes up, like my routine in the morning, picking up after stuff or just, you know, talking about how I got to have the right products in my shower. I shampooed my hair today as a female. It's
looks
great.
Good.
It's a really good feeling to have a day that this is a shampoo day. So
yep, exactly.
That just made it, you know.
So it's fun. I think it'd be fun stuff. And I think that, you know, I know for me right now, I'm doing 20 podcasts on when school's starting again. When the kids go back to school, you know, and you're like, and then of course one group goes back a week early, or David goes back a week earlier, and then I have to explain that, and then it's, you know, so it's we're good
just
talkers.
Talking about our day.
Yeah,
exactly that.
How do you do that podcast? I said I do a podcast all day. They just happen to record for an hour on one of them. That's all. Because
good because I have to get on Amazon and buy a new bronzer.
Well, and I bingo. There you go. You know, and isn't that funny? Because people really will refer to you for ideas on that. Like, you know, I need a bronzer. Let's go talk to Shay about that because she's like has it all together, and you've had it all together for all. I met you in...
I don't know if I've had it all together. I think that's a strong statement.
You've had it all together on the outside.
Okay.
You know, you've kept it... You know, I remember when I first started working at Bad Hair Day, and you and your mom worked side by side down in Rehoboth. Mm. And you guys just were like, you know, the heart of that salon. It was like so much going on. I used to always be like, go check out Shay's book for the day. You know, I'm going to see if I can get in her shampoo routine, you know. Because I knew... You know, you're talking, you know, you would interact with me, you interact with people, you know, whereas like others, they treat you kind of like, you know, can you do a shampoo? You know, you're like, oh my God, this is Tom. He's going to be doing your shampoo today. Mom, remember Tom? Oh, I love Tom. You know, it would just be this whole thing, this, you know, the whole package. And I used to love that about you guys, but you always had it. You looked dressed, always had long. You always looked long to me. Just those long pants and high heels.
You know, everybody thinks that I'm so tall and stuff. I'm not. I think I just wear my hair tall and high heels.
Right, but that's a fashion move.
Yeah. I want to tell you why we're talking about memories.
Well put together.
Thank you. Tall drink
and
of water.
And thank you for the, yes, thank you for both of those compliments.
I've shampooed
from both
some
of
hair too for it.
He has.
There you go, that bro. You got to step in when you got to step in.
I've shampooed
Cody.
Hair.
Was she nice to you? Oh, my God. Cody's going to be shampooing you today. Right, Mom? It's Cody. Hi.
No, I think Mom wasn't working, and I was like, just see her. This is Cody. And no, I was like, whatever happens, happens.
Literally did it for you and your mom quite a
you
few
did?
Times. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate all
I'm not looking
that.
For kudos. I just
well, you need it.
Here
you know,
I am.
But you don't know you when you're drowning, here. When you're drowning that you need.
A picture of myself on my
Project Kudos hat for you. Get yourself a Project Kudos notepad and write yourself a note, Cody. I need
Thank
that
you,
hat
Cody,
back,
I
Cody.
No, Tom.
Thank you for doing that for me. But I want to tell you one of my favorite memories that every time I don't know if I brought it up to you before. One of my favorite things was we must have been dead or had a break, and we played with the rotten fruit, the clementines, and we were throwing them on the back of the coat rack, and our line was, and you made it up, not today. And I still use
oh my
that.
God, I
still use
that.
It every single day. I still use
not today. not today. That was funny.
I'm sure you used to hear me say it. Not today.
We used to have a lot of fun.
That was good.
Back in those days.
But I still keep that quote with me, and it's from you.
Did you remember when Matt had the fashion show over at Fish On?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Were you in it?
No.
You did hair for it.
I did hair for it. I'm not one to showboat that way. That would not be for me.
Well, I mean, so Diane was also in it, and she's not either. So, I mean, you know, if you were just stood next to Drexel long enough, you might have found yourself in it.
I think I just stood next to Drexel. I mean, yeah. That's what I did.
Drexel, I love Drexel. Yeah.
He just lost his brother.
I know. I just saw him at the grocery store. I told him I was sorry.
Did you?
I felt bad for him. And
I reached out to him.
I always, and he's a pain in the ass, you know, right? He is. I mean, but as much as of a pain in the ass is, I love the guy, and I wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for Drexel.
We've talked about this before. I wouldn't have any of this without my mother and Drexel. Those are my soul people.
And honestly, I'm not sure Drexel would have a lot of what he has without having you and your mom at some point. So I think.
Well, and that gives mom a little bit of credit right there, you know, that, I mean, she was one of the first that worked for him, and they somehow coasted. I don't know how that functioned, but it did. And it's a lot to be said for. I didn't even know about Graham Webb, the school that I went to. That was a really strong school without Drexel. And
Suggest that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was the one who. So Drexel and I think I told you before, are side by side with, what was his partner? Ed Major.
Yeah.
We're all lined up in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if it's still there, but it was. We all won the competition that year.
Did you?
And I would have never gone to that school without him.
So were you like, I don't think I've ever even heard the story how you even got involved in hair. Were you like shampooing or something and decided to become a hairdresser?
I grew up in the hair salon with Drexel. And
so you were a kid
Nicole
at one point when mm-hmm. your mom was working for Drexel?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And my mom went to school at 36 and graduated at 37, 38, and there was nobody to watch me, and my girlfriend Nicole and I would go to the salon with my mom, and we would play hair and just keep ourselves tucked in. We would do manicures, or we would do shampooing, or we would clean. Drexel was in his glory.
Yeah.
And he was there, he was not there, but we were there, and he allowed us to be there. And I still, into my career today, that's just like my little Drake, which is Victoria's, one of my coworkers' son, and other children that are involved in there, like letting them grow up and be comfortable in the barbershop or doing whatever is very important to me, because that's exactly where I was. I mean, we would run the streets and stuff like that, but...
Can you hear my kids out there now?
Are they here?
Yeah, you hear Teresa. No. I mean, I'm the same way. My kids, they come to the hair salon. They don't go to camp. They go to salon camp.
Yeah.
And they, if you don't like my kids, then don't come here.
I think it's a great natural progression for kids to be.
Well, and we used to say, you know, David, especially when he was little, you know, he asked the client, did you ask the client if they want some water or coffee? He would walk out there. Can I get you some coffee? He'd be like, can I get you some coffee and water? You know, freaking out. But eventually, and now he shampoos. David shampoos. And you mentioned shampooing. It's, you know, it sounds easy.
It's
but
not.
I tell you, your first hand
it
goes on
not.
Someone's head, and you're
it's
like, "Whoa, this is odd." You know, all of a sudden there's energy and transferring.
Everything. Shampooing, I think, is one of the hardest things about
it. It's
doing
absolutely
hair.
A difficult thing to do. And because touching another person.
Yeah, that's awkward in its own right.
It's awkward.
And then, you know, when you only shampoo your hair all your life and then you're sticking your hands in somebody else's hair, it's intimate. It becomes very intimate.
It's very intimate. And especially for my son, 14, he's like, oh.
And then
you
get, you know, water down the back. You know, when people get upset about, certain people get upset, other people don't get upset. It's learning how to deal with other people's emotions at the same time while you're physically...
Well, and I know it's crazy because I want to try to go over there and like intervene. You know, is he doing okay? You know, how's it going? And I have to let go and let him just go through it.
Let go.
They'll come over and they go, he's very good. I'm like, oh, good. Good news, you know? So it's
always nice to hear too.
It's a great place to grow up, man.
Yeah, it is. And that's what people do. They gather, going back to like a barbershop, people just go just to sit there. And that's what I love about my shop. People come in just for a coffee, show up.
From Maryland.
Fly in from Maryland.
We're descending. We'll be descending now.
We've reached altitude, and now we're coming down.
Or, hey, I just wanted to drop this off. Or, hey, I was just popping by. Hey, I saw your car. I get lots of one of the wonderful things that I get is people beeping down the highway, not in an aggressive way, but just like, hey, you know, because they know that we're sitting there and, you know, where my location is. We sit back. Just the fact that they recognize that I'm there.
I never honk. Is that what we do? We honk at you?
Now you need to.
Is it a triple? Hey, if anybody's going by Shay's shop, honk.
Yeah. Or
we'll see how many people.
As my mom put on the marquee, nobody leaves there ugly.
Oh.
And that's what.
Well, but that is, and that's the other thing. I mean, how over summer are you? Because, I mean, the traffic has been.
This was a summer bummer for me.
A summer bummer. I like that because I feel a little bit the same way.
I didn't have, it just was a summer bummer for me. I felt like I worked. I didn't do any of the cliche things that I always like to do. Go to Cape May, go to Ocean City, Blue Marlin.
White Marlin.
White Marlin, thank you. But there's Blue Marlin. They pick those up too. The Flounder Path. It just was a summer bummer for me.
Were you down? Were you down this summer?
I think I was less a companion.
Yeah. I don't know what it was about this summer, but I just feel it was, last summer really did the beach a lot. A lot of beach. Two summers ago, Christine, any time we had a free moment, we went to the beach. Just took our chairs and just kicked it. Didn't go to the beach that much this year. Enough. You know, we got some color, I guess, but just haven't really felt it. And in the house a lot this summer, and it feels like the heat was brutal this year.
You've been out there, though. You've been out there running.
Yeah, I'm not running. I'm riding my bike.
Okay.
And that has actually, I'm glad you asked about that. That's been awesome. I mean, I was doing a lot of running, and I started to really dread it. Like, oh, my God. So this bike has been nice. It's easier. It's easier on my body. But it's not easy. And like this morning, I left the house at 5:15, and then I could see there's going to be this great sunrise. So I'm hauling ass. I made it to the beach just in time. I don't know if you saw the picture yesterday of the little umbrella house and the pink sky.
I didn't. I only just looked at Instagram today, but I saw you.
It was an amazing picture. And then I get caught up in that. Like, I want to get a great picture. And then I started getting a little obsessive with pictures and stuff like that. And so, but yeah, biking's been fun. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the fall.
Me too.
Actually, I've been excited about doing podcasts. I've been really into it. And I used to have a lot more free time before I started doing these podcasts. And now we're doing 3, 4, 5 podcasts a week, sometimes like 2 a day. People are actually reaching out. Can I be on your podcast? I have the Rich
King?
Rich King?
Rich Gifford? No, what's his name? Well,
the
executive director of the Lewis Beach House is coming on. He's coming on Wednesday, I think, because they're having a big fundraiser. See, a couple years you might have gone to that fundraiser a couple years ago. Now you're not going. Did you go to that fundraiser at the beach house?
I did.
Yeah.
I stopped doing all of the fundraisers, really, like the Blue Jean Ball, like whatever. Just stopped. I just don't. I hate to say it.
Just
I just don't care.
Yeah. I just don't care.
I just don't care anymore.
Well, it'd be one thing if you hadn't done it, because I know you did it for a long time. So it'd be one thing if you hadn't done it and to not care. But you can only support so long. I mean, other people have to come along. Other people have to support, you know. Matt was big and was involved with the Pathways to Success. He passed away. Sarah Gilmore reached out to me. I had her on the podcast. I'm trying to do some stuff for Pathways to Success. Not like Matt. Never could be like Matt. But, you know, I'll do my couple years, and then the next person will come along. Yeah. You just try to do what you can,
That's a great point.
Do everything
forever. That's nice to hear, actually, because I do feel a little bit guilty about it, but it's just like I just kind of threw
my
hands
up. How many people's hairs have you done for the blue jean ball? That's helpful.
I don't know. Right now, what's going on at the shop is the ovarian cancer. It's the ovarian cancer month, I guess.
Oh.
Which is, I believe, I want good for everybody. That's not my intention.
Sometimes you get kind of handcuffed into these things a little bit.
It's just nonstop.
You don't care about ovarian cancer? Is that what you're saying?
Now I'm a bad person.
No, I care. I absolutely care about ovarian cancer.
I care about it.
I hope it goes away. Go away, ovarian cancer. Go.
Bye.
So listen, that was an hour and 10 minutes. Cody, I don't know if we've ever met, but it was great to meet you,
Tom,
man.
Tom, nice to meet you.
I hope you fly into more often.
From Maryland?
From Maryland. Well, and I do like the topic of CBD, and I do have my medical card. But, you know, I also use CBD, and I'll give you some brochures out there. You know, CBD is great for, like, I have a lot of back injuries and stuff, and I can't take pain pills and all that garbage. So, you know, I got my card, and I try experimenting with CBD oil and stuff, and it's, you know, it helps a little bit, but I'm always open to anything natural, right?
Sure, I 100% believe in CBD, and we carry it at the shop.
I have a client. Do you know Terry Fox? I don't know.
Terry Fox.
She got stricken with this disease that basically, like all of the stuff that happens involuntary, like when you sleep, that when you breathe at night, you know, on your own, started going away. Like she didn't know if she was going to continue to breathe if she fell asleep. All of these weird things.
Sleep apnea.
Is that a neural thing?
It's not sleep apnea. No, it's neurological, definitely. Yeah. She started taking CBD oil. I just cut her hair the other day. She says it has saved her life.
I believe it.
Same with the arthritis. I mean, there's so many things that I think it heals.
I think it's for some and not for others, just like any kind of...
No, it's for everybody.
Homeopathic.
It's for everybody,
I mean,
Cody. Come on now.
I think it works for some and doesn't work for others, but... You know.
It's funny, like... I'll have older clients, especially older ones, and even these people that are involved with CBD, they're under attack by all the old people that are now that have been bad-mouthing marijuana for all these years.
Absolutely.
Now they all want CBD oil. And this one guy told me that he was able to get off four or five different medications just using CBD oil.
Absolutely.
But he's like, I think I'm going to try CBD oil. I'm like, you can say it out loud, man.
It's not even like you're on a registry
if you use CBD oil. I mean,
there's not a stigma attached to it. And there's not much of a stigma attached to cannabis anymore either. It's not.
I don't know. I still feel guilty every single time I take an ibuprofen.
She won't even take aspirin.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
CBD
long
oil,
live science.
Long live science.
And, you know, but there's better ways out there than.
I am a big believer in CBD oil. So.
Yeah. We won't even get into pharmaceutical company conversations.
I would love to get into that.
No.
Next podcast.
We need a cordless free.
A cordless hair dryer.
Yeah, cordless hair dryer. Hey, guys, so we're going to try to get you your own podcast channel.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Shay. Shay, Cody, thank you guys.
Thanks,
have a great day.
Awesome. Tom,
all right,
thank you.
Bye.